Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace, Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
Everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you so much for joining us. I wanted to start with a few headlines before we get into the latest updates on the masked up Intifada, you know, crowd and what they're up to. Because that really, once you start going on that, Jared, it can take a long time. We've got a lot of video, we've got a lot of tweets and social media posts and hot takes on what's going on. And so that is going to command attention once we get there. So in the meantime, just a few things I think you guys should know about. Judge Juan Merchan has decided to fine Trump $9,000 for violating the gag order and is demanding he take down some social media posts and not do this again. And when I say not do this again, I guess that means Trump should not cite the very obvious conflict of interest at play here, considering the judge, Merchan's daughter, works for a company. I think she still works there, although we should check that out. Authentic Campaigns is, I think, what it's called. A company that helps Democrats like Adam Schiff campaign off of Trump's legal battle. So it's not a crazy call to say this isn't fair, or, you know, there should be another option for Trump. But he's not allowed to say that. He's going to pay $9,000. On the bright side, though, the judge did decide, he's very generous, he decided that he's going to let Trump attend his son Barron's graduation from high school. So how nice of him. Very sweet, sweet gesture.
Wailing and gnashing at CNN and MSNBC can begin now.
Yes. This is a threat to democracy if Trump's able to go to Barron's graduation. You know, I'm glad you brought up CNN and MSNBC, because this morning I was scrolling and I saw Nicole Wallace, and she was talking about, and the crazy part is you see these cuts of, you all know the type, like Joe Scarborough, Nicole Wallace, all of these pampered journalists who, and they're not even journalists, they're just talking heads who think they're doing the Lord's work. And you really could plop them in any time, because they've been saying the same thing now going on 8 years. They've been saying the same exact thing. And they have so many fantasies and they have so many hypotheticals and fear mongering and things they know are never going to happen. But they have to convince the masses. They have to convince especially any ignorant people out there that if Trump takes over, the sky is truly going to fall this time. And I saw this cut of Nicole Wallace, and she's talking. Do we have this, Jared? Play this for me.
I've seen that toast a bunch of times, but it landed very differently this year, because depending on what happens in November, 7 months from right now, this time next year, I might not be sitting here. There might not be a White House Correspondents' Dinner or a free press. While our democracy wouldn't exactly fall apart immediately without it, the real threat looms larger. A candidate with outward disdain, not just for a free press, but for all of our freedoms and for the rule of law itself.
Oh, right. Naturally. Yeah, it's always about the rule of law itself, which we can tell Joe Biden takes so seriously. A few things I want to say on that. One is I'm very critical of my own voice. I think most people are. And I'm not trying to say I'm the songbird of my generation or that my voice is particularly soothing to listen to. But I would say compared to Nicole Wallace, I sound wonderful. She sounds like a valley girl in that cut.
Yeah, it's like an emo teenager talking about how difficult the day at the mall was.
I might not be able to go to the White House Correspondents' Dinner because we might not have the ability to go to that. She's getting paid so much money to be so bad. And the other part of this, too, is out of all the fantasies that the left pushes, I find this one to be the most pathetic because they're like begging Trump to put them in jail. He's not going to put you in jail. Okay, he's not going to put you in prison. You're not important enough. Maybe Nicole Wallace, maybe Joe Scarborough, maybe George Stephanopoulos. If you had more viewers, if you were really a threat to Donald Trump, maybe in some alternate universe that would be considered. But I hate to break this to you. You don't matter enough for him to put you in jail. I know it would make your life. That's the part of it I find so desperate. Is they're like, it would be a real shame if Trump were to put us in jail. If he were to imprison us, well, you've been talking about it for 8 years. I don't know why he didn't do it the first go round. Again, because it doesn't serve him any purpose. It doesn't make his life easier to put you in prison. He's better off just ignoring you. Because if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, does it really make a sound? Like, he's not going to gain anything by putting Nicole Wallace in prison. Don't flatter yourself. That's my takeaway. Do not flatter yourself. He doesn't care enough about your little show on MSNBC to put you in jail. By the way, it would be a huge career boost. The closest he ever got to that, by the way, the closest he ever got to putting any of these people in prison, to putting them behind bars, was when he told Jim Acosta he couldn't be at the White House press briefings for like 2 weeks. And you know what Jim Acosta got out of it? He got a show out of it. He got a podcast out of it. He got a book out of it, I think. I mean, I don't really know. I know he got some sort of book where he was like recording it, some audio book. But it was the most famous and the most important Jim Acosta ever was. It was like the peak of his career was when Trump gave him the boot from the White House press briefing. And that was seen as like authoritarian. He must be stopped. Now we have a president who doesn't show his face to the press. Unless it's Drew Barrymore or Howard Stern, and all these same people don't have an issue with it. But when Jim Acosta got the boot for like shoving aside a Trump aide, that was the end of the world. And I just have to let these people know once and for all, I hate to break this to you. I know it's your dream. I know you all sit around praying for the day that you get tossed in prison for a couple of hours because Donald Trump is mad at you, but I just don't see it happening. Like so many other things in your life that you've created in your mind, I do not see this one happening. So you've got to let it go. I've never seen, he's going to put journalists in prison. Why? It's so much more fun to just make fun of you on social media, to dunk on you on Truth Social. You think he wants to give that up? I would argue that he likes the back and forth more than Joe Biden does. Joe Biden doesn't seem to give you guys the wrong time of day. 844-500-4242. I didn't even plan on going to that just yet. But it's like this recurring thing, Jared. I feel like if you went through the last 8 years, every single one of these people has talked about this at one point. About how they stay up at night thinking about how maybe they'll end up in jail because of Trump. No, that's just not on the agenda, unfortunately. Now, a Karen Reed update for everybody going back here to some headlines. We had Turtle Boy on yesterday. If you missed it, go check out the podcast. He was on in the 1 o'clock hour during the lunch break during the Karen Reed trial. And he was talking yesterday to us about Michael Proctor's text messages that came out in which Michael Proctor allegedly told his buddies he was searching for nudes on Karen Reed's cell phone. And he also hoped that she'd kill herself. So there were major bombshells in the first day of this trial. Today, the focus is on the dash cam footage. And this is where it gets really interesting because anyone who's been following the Karen Reed trial closely knows the snow plays a big role in this case. And what Jennifer McCabe says about how high the snow was, how many inches of snow there were, versus what the dash cam footage shows, versus what, you know, there's all these reports here. You could go back to any day, any time and type in, you know, what was the weather and you'll get an exact report. So all of these things don't add up in a way that I think helps the prosecution. I do think it's going to help Karen Reed. And so if we can get Turtle Boy on, we will. And we will keep you abreast of any breaking news from the Karen Reed case. And obviously, when we come back, we're going to talk about what happened at Columbia last night because this happened around 1 a.m. Insanity. Insanity. These protesters, these peace activists, stormed Hamilton Hall and they had masks on. I guess they had hammers, and they broke through a glass door. Again, this is all to stop the Israel-Hamas war. So we're breaking down glass doors at Columbia, and they enter in the building. They all have masks on, which is another question for me, because I'm not sure why you have to cover your face if you're so proud of your cause and if you're so willing to face any sort of consequence. Because that is what they're trying to sell us, right? Is that, like, I don't care what happens to me. This is worth all the slings and arrows that I might have to endure. And yet, you're covering your face.
Just spell my name right on the arrest report. That's all I want.
It's the best cut of the day. It's the best cut of the day. That was actually not Columbia, though. That was, I believe, University of Texas at Austin. There's a... And, you know, Jared, I was going to mention this. These protesters, they have a bright future ahead of them if they want to run for Congress. If they want to run as progressives, I know the progressive wing of Congress, it's only like five people, according to Nancy Pelosi. But all of these young people must have studied at the AOC School of Hysterics, because the theater, and I say this as a thespian, I say this as a theater major, I have never seen people so committed to the melodrama. Just the complete, I need a medic! It's like something out of a movie. And we have to play, you know, we should just play this as a tease before we go to break here. This is Jared and I's favorite cut of the day. So this is a pro-terrorist vandal hippie. She is getting dragged off by the police at University of Texas at Austin. And take a listen to, and I think the person next to her, Jared, is like a reporter or something. Probably for Columbia's version of, like, the Crimson, whatever they call it. Or, I'm sorry, UT's version of the Crimson. And take a listen to what this hippie manages to say while she's being hauled off by the police. Cut five.
They're choking me with my scarf.
She's choking. What's your first name?
You don't need a medic. Y'all need Jesus. That's what you need. You do not need a medic. She's claiming that the scarf that the police, you know, because she had a scarf on, were choking her. And then the if you couldn't hear it, the reporter on the sidelines goes, "What's your name?" Because I'm sure they want to keep tabs of the heroes that are being hauled off with their zip ties and stuff. And she says, "What's your name?" "Gabriella with two L's." Thank God we clarified. I would have hated to see Gabriella with one L.
Don't want to see another scarf wearing Gabriella somewhere on the campus.
Get credit. No, we can't have stolen valor for Gabriella with two L's. When we come back, we're going to talk all about this. We've got so much sound. And Jamal Bowman's weighing in. He's saying that we should welcome any Palestinian refugees who want to come to the United States of America. I don't know if there's room. More room in New York. I mean, Eric Adams said that the inn is closed, but Jamal Bowman is saying otherwise. And I like to take my advice from someone who thinks you open a door by pulling a fire alarm. We'll get to that. We got so much stuff to get to. And I want to take your calls, 844-500-4242. A lot more when we come back.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Would Donald Trump not do whatever he could do if he could get away with it? Seriously, if he could arrest every journalist he didn't like, if he could arrest us tomorrow, let me ask you a question. Do you think he would arrest us tomorrow? Do you think he would arrest the editor of the New York Times, the editor of the Washington Post? Jeff Bezos, do you think he'd arrest him tomorrow and throw him in jail to silence him?
Like it.
Do you think he would? Because if you say he wouldn't, you're just lying to yourself.
I would say the only person lying to themselves here is you, the guy who's desperate to be arrested by Donald Trump. You can't get arrested in this town if you're Joe Scarborough. No, I think honestly what Trump's probably going to do when he gets into office, he's not going to arrest you, Joe. He's not going to put you in handcuffs, neither real handcuffs nor invisible handcuffs. I think what he's probably going to do is he's going to help your ratings. I think he's going to help the New York Times' subscriptions. I think he's going to help the media in general, which, by the way, the reason I think this, the reason I have this hunch, is because that's what he did the first term that he was president. That's what he did the first time around. He helped all of you. Do you not remember that, Mar-a-Lago boy? He helped you. And now you're all pretending. And how many times it's like he's begging him to arrest him. Do you think he's going to arrest me? Do you think he's going to arrest me? Maybe he'll arrest me. I'd hate if he arrested me. It'd be a shame if I got arrested by Donald Trump. Your desperation is pungent, Joe Scarborough. Speaking of Trump and the media, I have to read you this headline from CNN that really cracked me up. Actually, you know what? No, I'm going to save that. I'm going to go to the poll question here, and we'll get to that a little bit later. Just stay tuned. Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is will Columbia cancel its graduation ceremony?
I'm starting to think they're not going to have a choice. I mean, Hamilton Hall was taken over by these vandals who broke in through the glass and, you know, all have masks on. They're chanting Intifada. They're blocking Jewish students from being able to go about their day-to-day lives, go to class, do things like that. And I don't see how with this current upheaval going on at the campus that you're going to all of a sudden have like grandparents come to watch their grandkid graduate. It doesn't seem like it's going to mix well. It seems like this is a recipe for disaster. And I would note that as far as Columbia's president versus these students, the students have the power here. That's become very obvious to anyone paying attention. The administration has essentially bent the knee to these nuts, and I don't see this ending anytime soon. And they actually said that. They said, we're not going anywhere until all of our demands are met. So this is the negotiation. This is, you know, step five of the negotiation process. Not looking good for the president of Columbia. So I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, 84% of the audience agrees yes. They will have to cancel.
I mean, there's the option that they do Zoom, but I think if you're, and you know what, Jared, you can tell me if I'm wrong on this, but if I'm a parent of a normal student, right, a student that's not harassing the other Jewish students on the campus and not chanting from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, and hoping for the eradication of the Jewish state of Israel, if I'm a parent whose child was normal and was graduating, I think it'd be more of a slap in the face if the school said we're going to do the graduation via Zoom. I think canceling the graduation at this point would be less offensive and disgusting to me than getting an email saying, hello, everyone. We're going to have a Zoom graduation. Here's your login code. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Today's a sound day. We just have so much sound to get to. But in case I forget to talk about this later, something I want to mention here is Trump's involved. He's got to be in New York because of this hush money trial. And he's campaigning in between his court appearances. And I keep saying, it's like, where's Waldo? Where is he going to show up? Is it a bodega? Is it a construction site? And I do
the bodegas.
I do think there it packs more of a punch, the fact that he's in New York, which we know is so blue, so Democrat, so liberal. But he's got ties to New York, and seeing him back there, seeing him return to New York is there's something poetic about it.
Yeah, I mean, when's the last time he got to spend this much time in New York?
Yeah, and he's making the most. He's putting in the hours and he's making the most. You know, he's not going to let his time be wasted. If he's going to be there, he's going to make the most of it. But something I find really amusing, we were talking about how Trump's in New York, and like everything else, Biden is just, at this point, it's monkey see, monkey do. Like whatever Trump does, Biden tries to do right afterwards. And we saw this, we've seen this in the past few years, but recently it's been very obvious, at least to me. So the most recent time was Trump was getting all of this play for being in New York City, talking to these construction workers, a lot of them union guys saying that, you know, bleep Joe Biden, we're voting for Trump. Well, you know, it's Trump's turn, four more years. So as that story starts taking off, then all of a sudden it's reported Biden's coming to New York City to do an interview with Howard Stern. So he's not going to be like amongst the people. He's going to be with Hamptons Howie. He's going to sit down and do this puff piece interview, which he did. And it was brutal. I mean, there was no news in it, really, except for that he said he would debate Donald Trump, which remains to be seen. And then I don't know if people caught this, but Trump today, I believe it was today, comes out and says, you know, he's denouncing what's happening on the campuses. He's calling them Biden protests. And he says he's got to get out and make a statement because the colleges are being overrun in this country. And what happens this morning? Like clockwork, the White House comes out with a statement. So I implore you all.
True and international effort to pressure.
If you know somebody who's on the fence about who to vote for, again, I know I keep saying this, and this is really my only campaign tactic, but I do think it's effective to say whether or not Trump is in the White House, he's calling the shots and everything's his fault and everything is about Trump. And now we figure out that Joe Biden's basically taking direction from what Trump tells him to do. He's now calling the shots and saying, you got to make a statement. And Biden makes a statement. You might as well have him in there so he can restore some normalcy. Remember all that normalcy we were going to get when Biden took over? We need some of that back. So that would be my advice to all of you. Now, we do have to get to some of these sound cuts of the protesters. It is wild what is happening. I want to play. We played a pro-terrorist hippie Gabriella with two L's. As Jared said, we would hate to see Gabriella with one L get any of the credit for all of this heroism that's going on. But we also have video of the students at Columbia with hammers at Hamilton Hall, which they've renamed. Can I get cut three, please? Mostly peaceful. Mostly peaceful, except, and you know what's the crazy thing is? Where's Lawrence O'Donnell when you need him? Stop the hammering. I thought Trump was going to be the one to take a hammer to the Constitution. Turns out that these very progressive radicals at Columbia prefer the hammer. It's like a game of Clue. I suspect the Columbia student at Hamilton Hall with the hammer is to blame. And something else that is starting to pop up now.
Stop the hammering.
You really should stop the hammering. Stop the hammering. Graduation is at risk. And we've already paid for all the liquor. And in the tent. Those tents are really expensive, in case people don't know. Now, obviously, the problem here is not the fact that that not only 8 years of the Obama administration and now Joe Biden finishing Obama's job, playing footsie with Iran, decades of indoctrination of these young people. That's not the issue. It's not the fact that we have anti-Semites so proudly taking over these college campuses. If you ask the media, if you ask the talking heads, the problem is the fact that this is giving Donald Trump something to run with. Like, it's never the actual issue. It's always Republicans' reaction to the issue. And yes, I am talking about seizing and pouncing and weaponizing. But can you blame us? I mean, look around. You're telling me, now these are from the same people, Let me play first an example. Joe Scarborough. Joe is on my mind today. He is all over the place. So this is Joe Scarborough. He is very upset. Jared, is this when he's trying to figure out? Okay, yeah. This is cut 7.
The adults. It's staggering. Not just to me. I know I'm a conservative. Not just to me, but to 90% of Americans. They want to know where the adults are at Columbia. They want to know where the adults are at Penn. They want to know where the adults are at Harvard. They want to know where the adults are at all of these college campuses where they're letting their students and outside agitators run across the campus, shut down debate, scream whenever anybody tries to talk reason to them, shout genocidal chants, hold up signs pointing to Jews saying Hamas's next victims, holding up signs talking about the final solution, chanting constantly from the river to the sea. You know what from the river to the sea is? If you don't, that's all right. Most of the students chanting it don't understand that they are chanting genocidal comments.
All right, joining us now.
They want to wipe out all Jews, and they want to destroy the state of Israel, and they want to kill Jews and push them. See, they are Hamas on college campuses when they chant that.
Some of them may not even know what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the point.
But the adults there do.
Yes, they do.
And yet, this, by the way, this is a long time coming. This has been coming since the 1960s. And now the people that were burning down college campuses, the people that were taking over presidents' offices, those people are now on the faculty senate, in the faculty senate, trying to encourage these students to do the same.
He's not wrong. I thought in that one, Jared, that he ended up talking about how he's scared that this is going to give Trump the election. But that rant for me was 10 out of 10, which I never say that about Joe Scarborough. But hey, even a broken clock. But he's not wrong. And this whole idea of, oh, they don't really know what they're doing, from Mika Brzezinski. It's like, I don't know if I believe that. I really don't. I think that's a bit of a cop out at this point, that these kids are just young and dumb, and they're not even kids. And forgive me for the fact that I keep saying that. A lot of them are in their 20s, mid 20s. It's anti-Semitism. There's plenty of resources where if they wanted to educate themselves, they could. This, to me, feels very nefarious. It feels very violent. And I don't think this idea of, oh, they're useful idiots, they don't know what they're doing, they're ignorant. It didn't work on January 6th. No one could claim that on January 6th. And since that's the big comparison, right? So why now is that going to be an excuse? Now, in some ways, I agree that there is definitely a lack of knowledge. And Lawrence Jones from Fox was able to dive into this with an interview that he did with a protester. Can I get cut 8, Jared?
How do you feel about them taking over the building right now?
I think that their cause is a just cause, and I hope that the administration really hears their demands. I think they're just demands.
Do you feel like it was right to hold 3 of the janitor workers hostage with inside of the building?
I think that's a really false narrative.
That's what the janitors are saying, that they weren't allowed to leave.
I think that that's a really false narrative.
Even if the janitors are saying that, you're saying that that's not true.
I think that it's a really false narrative that the students took anyone hostage.
How do you feel about some of the Jewish students saying that they don't feel safe here on campus?
I think that this is also a really false narrative that's being promoted.
Do you think October 7th and the attack that happened is a false narrative? Do you believe that some of the women were raped?
My colleague just came back.
This is what happened.
Can you get out of my face, please?
So this is what you see at these protests. Once you get into the nitty-gritty of what happened on October the 7th, the rape of women, what's happening there, they deny what happened. As you know, that it's actually factual now that
we know this is the game. This is the plan. It's like, okay, just repeat the same thing, and then once you get questioned on it, run away. And you can even hear the change in her voice where she's ready to be the victim. Ready at the drop of a hat. Can you please get out of my face? I'm ready for her to start saying, someone get this man away from me. because she's the victim in all of this. How dare you question her logic? How dare you ask a follow-up question? None of these kids have ever been asked, there I go again. None of these people have ever been asked follow-up questions in their lives. They've never had any pushback, and it shows. And it's why they're such wonderful parrots for Hamas propaganda. And they repeat it, like Baghdad Bob, so willingly and so proudly. And it's shameful, really. And something else I want to say here is Jamal Bowman is supportive of resettling Gaza refugees. I want to play this. I know it's a lot of sound, guys, but it's important to get some of this out there. This is representative. He's always auditioning to be part of the squad. Based off the poll numbers last time I checked, he's in a danger zone for getting reelected. But listen to Jamal Bowman. This is Cut 6.
Should the United States bring in people from Gaza?
Well, we are a land of immigrants, and we are a land of asylum seekers. Anyone escaping persecution and oppression and violence, the United States has always been an open home to those people. So whether they're coming from Palestine, Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, Mexico.
Yeah, so he thinks we should resettle Palestinian refugees. Keep in mind that the Palestinian Center for Policy Survey and Research, last time I checked, which was in December, they ran a poll, and it's a pretty respected polling data center. They ran a poll that showed almost 3 in 4 Palestinians believe October 7th, where people were beheaded, Holocaust survivors were murdered, women were raped, both alive and dead, and dragged around the town. 3 out of 4 Palestinians believe October 7th that the attack by Hamas was correct. And Jamal Bowman doesn't see any issue how this could possibly go wrong by welcoming Palestinian refugees into the United States of America. Forget the fact, leaving aside the fact, that we currently have a massive influx of illegal aliens on our border to begin with, without bringing Palestinian numbers into the equation. And one more thing I'd like to add here is that in Breitbart, it said, most recently, a social media parody account tricked Bowman by pretending to be the chief rabbi of Gaza. So he was duped by a social media account. He was also duped by a fire alarm. So I'm not going to take my immigration advice from Jamal Bowman. And I would suggest that the people in New York don't do this either. Speaking of, like, where are these refugees going to stay? New York can't take any more people. They say they don't have the infrastructure for it. Unless Bowman knows of some more hotels in Midtown that are willing to destroy themselves if the price is right, I don't understand how this makes any sense. But nothing Jamal Bowman says ever makes any sense. Face it, the world is a scary place. It seems like the current administration is on a mission to make life more dangerous, while at the same time making it harder for Americans to protect themselves. Luckily, FlipLock is here and can help protect you and your family. The FlipLock security door lock is unpickable, unbreakable, and it's 10 times stronger than a deadbolt. It can withstand over 1,500 pounds of pressure. When you turn on the news, it's difficult to escape headlines about horrific home invasions. They happen all the time, and they're just happening more and more. And a lot of people think that installing a security system or just protecting your family is going to cost you thousands of dollars. That is a major misconception, because the FlipLock is very reasonable. You go to FlipLock.com. It's FlipLock.com. Use code GRACE20. You can save an additional 20% off, and the price by itself is very reasonable. And then when you add in the 20% off, I mean, it's a great deal, and it's a very easy, simple way to protect yourself, to protect your family. Maybe send one to a grandkid or a son or a daughter if they just moved out of the house, if they moved into a dorm or a new apartment. FlipLock is perfect for all of those scenarios. Security does not need to be expensive. It just needs to work. Go to FlipLock.com and save 20% with code GRACE20. That's FlipLock.com and save 20% with code GRACE20. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
And now the people that were burning down college campuses, the people that were taking over president's offices, those people are now on the faculty senate.
in the faculty senate, trying to encourage these students to do the same. They helped elect it. They helped elect Nixon. I guess they want to elect Donald Trump in 24.
And that's the real problem here. It's not the fact that they want to eradicate the Jewish state, or that they're harassing Jewish students on campus, or that they're chanting things like Intifada, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. None of that is the problem. The problem is that they might help elect Donald J. Trump. There's the rub. That's always what it comes down to, right? And one of the texters said, it's always the politics, not the actual problems. Right. They don't want to see this result in any sort of positive polling or momentum for Donald Trump. And I got news for them. It's going to. Because when you wake up Michael Rappaport, who hates Trump more than most, he's like, on the scale of Trump derangement, he was a very rabid TDSer. And he will not vote for Joe Biden now because of the way Joe Biden's handled this. Or mishandled this is probably the more appropriate way of putting it. It's pathetic. And what do you expect? The inmates are running the asylum. And now you have Jamal Bowman suggesting that we take in Palestinian refugees. When it's one of the biggest lies pushed by the media is that Hamas does not have support amongst a really, really large number of the population in Gaza. They do. It doesn't mean there's not innocent Palestinians. I'm not suggesting that there's not innocent people in Gaza. But to suggest that there's not support for Hamas in that area, and specifically support for slaughtering Israelis on October 7th, is just a lie. And it's a lie they keep pushing. 844-500-4242. And again, when I hear the sound of these actors, I remember when I was younger, I was having this real temper tantrum one time. I wasn't like little, I was like 12 or something. And I was probably 10, because it was right before I went into middle school. And my mom looked at me and she said, you know, I really hope that when you go to this new school, you sign up for the theater department. You try to be in a play, because the dramatics are unbelievable. And I feel the same way about these young people. I'm like, I really hope that you drop all of this social justice BS and just go to Hollywood. That's where you might, either Hollywood or Congress. That's the only place I can think that this grandstanding would be fully appreciated. They've gone to the AOC School of Meltdowns, where the louder you scream or shriek, then, you know, the more praise you're going
to
get.
Well, I guess it makes sense, right? You go to college to prepare for the job you're going to have after college. So I guess this is just practice. This is like a work study.
Yeah,
for
but
them.
It really does depend on how the election goes. I don't think that this kind of behavior is going to be rewarded if we are about to enter into, fingers crossed, the Trump administration for another 4 years. I think people have had enough of this. Not to mention the fact that they're not even meeting their own DEI standards at a lot of these schools. A lot of these anti-Israel protests are made up of mostly, I shudder to even say this, white people. We'll be right back. We're going to talk Zelensky, George Gascon, and so much more. Plus nostalgia for the Trump's first term. Don't go anywhere.